Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut the Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Lebanon. Okay, today's episode is being recorded at unceded Anishinaabe, Algonquin Territory, on this day, March 15, 2026. Happy belated piety. Quick disclaimer, today's episode is rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label and as a motherfucking crew. Excuse me, record label and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast was not meant for you. It was not meant for you. You were not in mind when this podcast was created. So shout out to all you listeners, keeping with tradition, and before we do anything, I will ask you to apply yourselves. All right, and, it's a tradition on this podcast where I ask listeners to applaud themselves, because if you're part of my target demographic, you're likely the kind of person who tends to applaud everyone else except yourself, except the person in the mirror. All right, and this is your first time listening to this podcast. Welcome. Yay! Yes, welcome. Here's hoping I say something on this podcast that resonates, on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Episode 327, again, and today I'll be talking about I'll be sharing my thoughts about documentary by Louis Theroux, and about Inside the Manosphere. Yeah, I watched it yesterday, and I got some thoughts. I got thoughts, and I got material. But before we do that, we're gonna do some quotable and some randomness. All right, let's start with quotes. Let me go with quotes. You know what? Fuck the notes. Let me just go. All right, let me start with this one. If you aren't confident enough that you can give yourself the life that you want, you'll attach yourself to people in hopes they save you, which is a prison.
Message.
All right. Second one goes, I thought this one was deep, and it goes, when the right person enters your life. Just give me a second. Let me just adjust the fonts here, because it's when the right person enters your life. It's not just love, it's transformation. They don't bring confusion or chaos, they bring clarity and calm. They don't focus on your past, they see the strength in your scars. I love that one. They don't focus on your past, they see the strength in your scars. They inspire you to rise, to heal, to grow into the person you're meant to be. It's not just a relationship, it's a partnership in becoming your best self. Wow. Message. Powerful. Yeah. This is one of those things I would have benefited from understanding at a younger age. All right, last one. It goes, because our blocks is filled with danger. Used to be close-knit community, but now we're all close strangers. Time changes us to stone, then crack pipes, all up and down the block exterminating black life. But I can't blame the dealers. My mama's welfare check bought the next man chrome wheels.
Message.
All right, I'm questioning the transcription from Rap Genius. He goes, my mama's welfare check has brought the next man chrome wheels. I think it's bought the next man chrome wheels, but whatever. I'm not going to quit. Well, whatever. Yeah. All right. So, that's it. Yeah.
Message.
All right. So that's it for quotables. Now let's jump to, I don't know, my podcast, randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. So first one. Yeah. Like I said, happy belated Pi Day. And the way I look at Pi Day is just being a nerd. Just justifying being a nerd. It's a nerd day, man. Pi, who don't know Pi? Well, of course, I'm not going to explain. I'm not going to give you a math lesson on what Pi is. I'm not going to waste my time explaining how it's the constant representing the ratio of the circle circumference and its diameter, approximately equal to 3.14. Whatever. All right. But it's a. The way I do Pi Day is I'm celebrating my nerdiness and the fact I love math, and I eat pie. And the reason I'm bringing up Pi Day, I mean, aside from the fact that yesterday was Pi Day, is it's a tradition. A friend of mine, we eat pie on Pi Day, and we discovered this place. It's called in Ottawa, in Canada. It's called Voila. Voila, gluten free, and it's dope. Fuck, the food's good. Like, okay, the bakery, them motherfuckers can bake, and so I was just thinking about how. So it's my friend who's like gluten intolerant, and so I was close to checking out this other location. I had this thought on how that conversation was gonna go. Like, I was gonna call the new location, just to some location I wanted to try out. And but I wanted to make sure that they had like gluten-free options, and but it's the image of calling them to find out if they have gluten-free option kind of makes me feel like the white person with the black friend during segregation, and it's like I could picture the phone call. It's like, hey, excuse me, do you have any gluten-free option? And then they say something like whatever, something like. I don't know, something disparaging about people who are gluten intolerant. And then I'd probably say, hey, I'm not genetically inferior here. I'm not, it's for my friend. But I want to make sure that if I bring my friend here, my friend there, you people aren't going to embarrass me. I think it's going to be a bit, I got to work on it, but I'm going to, whatever. But it's the idea of, I'm trying to picture being a white person who wants to hang out with his black friend, his or her black friend, and you got to make sure it's like, hey, y'all still segregated? You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm comparing segregation to gluten-free options. Yeah, kind of in extremes, but...
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Speaking of whack-ass comparisons, this one is dedicated to, say, fuck TikTok. I mean, fuck TikTok is where it's growing. Now... I've seen people post videos on TikTok or, I mean, on other social media about how, was it Larry Ellison, whatever, man. It's under new management, American management, and so they're fucking with the algorithm. Before, when the previous owners owned, previous owner was running TikTok, the algorithm made sure, like, was working perfectly. It only showed me shit that I would like, that I would enjoy. It wasn't like fucking whack ass Twitter that shows shit just to get you angry and get you, fuck you, you know, getting you fighting, or it would pair you with all the worst people on earth. This one was like showing me this version of their version of the algorithm didn't make me want to hate humanity. That's what I'm trying to say. So now that there's an American owner, they change shit. And so every once in a while, they'll sneak in some shit that will make you angry. So you got to constantly catch yourself. And this time, and this is why, like I'm saying, like, fuck TikTok from the bottom of my heart. They were, they presented a video. And the point of the video was to compare Malcolm X to Charlie Kirk. Oh, it's worse than that. First, they talk about Malcolm X, about his life, like identify, it was a controversial figure, said shit that pissed people off, married a chick who went to college, shit like that, even though he didn't go to college. Like, essentially you're getting played by the narrator. They make it. They start with a bunch of images of Malcolm X, and then they end that. Oh, you might think we were talking about Malcolm X, but we were really talking about Charlie Kirk. Fuck, I was so fucking pissed. I was so angry. And then, I was so angry. And of course, the comment section is filled with dumbass white people who can't tell the difference between white power and black power. And it was just like, okay, first, this randomness is just to talk about how angry I was. Like, I had to remind myself that I need to, like, control my temper and, like, allow for the fact that there are morons on this planet. I thought I was doing good, but it was all that clip did was remind me of why I start this episode. I start every podcast episode with "fuck Whitey as a staff, Rickon Lemon as a motherfucking crew." Like, from the bottom of my heart, there are some hopeless white people out there that, when it comes to racism, it's hopeless. Like, they're born racist. They're gonna die racist. Ain't shit gonna change about them. They're gonna be, they were born ignorant, they're gonna die ignorant. And they're gonna say shit like, "I don't see the difference between Charlie Kirk and Malcolm X would have been allies." Oh. It's just, I was so insulted by TikTok. I was angry enough to wanna remove the fucking application. I was so mad that, anyways, I'm so angry that I made it a segment. That's what I'm... it's amazing how I started out with, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And then this clip showed up, and I remember I was going to get into the comment section, but I know that if I engage with this fucking content, I'm going to get more of that bullshit. So I just, like, ignored it. I'm sure they're going to sneak some more in there, what I'm saying now, I so badly wanted to get in the comment section and say what I'm saying now, dissing the white people. I say white people, but, you know, white people and their allies and their black allies who would say some rage bait shit like Malcolm X. Like, there's a similarity between Malcolm X and Charlie Kirk. Fuck that. I tell you what, if we're going to make comparison, Charlie Kirk deserved more bullets. He should have gotten more bullets in his body. He only got one bullet. Yeah, fuck Charlie Kirk.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to play this next clip out of context because it's my goddamn podcast.
How do you get your meat so tender?
You got to do it slow. Mm-hmm. You got to have love for it.
That's right.
Hey, it'll be all right.
And then it'll be all right.
Hey, boy, look at here. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, I'm going to turn this into a multiple answer test, right? Was the last clip I just played A, porn, B, softcore porn, C, satire, or D, a clip about tenderism? What's this dude's name again? Or a clip about Walter Mr. Tenderism Johnson. What's tenderism? Google it. I just wanted to play that clip because I have the sense of humor of a 6-year-old.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Next one is, I'm going to start with a clip.
Unlike many black people who believe you must vote even if you have nothing you're looking for, I'm not in that group.
I had an economics professor in college that would always talk about how to abandon emotion whenever you're in a financial or economic negotiation and how to dominate that negotiation. And he had a very interesting leveraging tactic that I never forgot. A green guy is locked in a room with an orange guy and $1 million, and the clock has 1 hour, and they tell him, look, all y'all got to do is decide on how to split up the money and we'll give it to you. But if not, you get nothing. So the green guy says to the orange guy, like, look, this is easy. Let's just split it 50-50 down the middle, $500K each. Orange guy says, nope, I'll take $600K or no deal. The green guy's like, wait, what? No, that doesn't even make any sense. They argue back and forth, and eventually the time runs out, and the green guy doesn't take the deal. So he walks out with his head held high, no money, but with his head held high. He kept his morals. But what he didn't know is that the rules for the orange guy was a little different. The rules for the orange guy was, if there's no deal made between you two, you get to leave with 500K. So for the orange guy, there was no reason for him to accept a deal that did not give him more than 500K. This concept is called BATNA, best alternative to a negotiated agreement, and it teaches us the most important rule in negotiations. A deal only makes sense if it's better than what you would get with no deal. Even if a deal feels unfair, if it's better than your BATNA, you take it. So what did we learn? What black people got with the no deal option was Donald Trump, which gives us a rise in black unemployment, a rise in gas prices, another war, a retrenchment of DEI, a retrenchment of affirmative action. Barack Obama posted on his page as a monkey and a banning of over 500 black books. A deal only makes sense if it's better than what you get with no deal. This also teaches us something else about negotiating. The rules that you're negotiating under ain't always the rules that your opponents are negotiating under. Oh yeah, and black people are always under different rules. So when we were listening to a white leftist talk about never vote for Kamala during the election, think to yourself, were they communicating to me under the shield of their father's loft in Williamsburg and under the shield of a Democratic mayor and a Democratic governor passing progressive policies? And would the tangible consequences of this president affect them the way that it would affect me? You see, they're saying they can't vote for a candidate because they haven't fallen in love with them. But our ancestors knew something very important. We don't get the privilege or the luxury of falling in love with our political candidates because this political system don't love us. Politics ain't a love story for us. Mm-mm. It never has been. It's a business deal, a negotiation, and we have to win each negotiation because when we lose, we don't have safety nets. Mm-mm. Food for thought, food for thought.
Yeah, the voice you heard at the beginning was Dr. Umar, another fuckboy person I dislike. Wow. Hmm. You know, this episode's gonna be about a lot of people I dislike. But the person who you heard speaking, his name on Instagram is Dos Discourse, but his government name shows as Joshua Dos. Dos. Anyways, and I now he's a content creator I respect, or at least his work. I say at least his work because I don't know him personally. You know, these content creators, man, they always surprise you. But these, what he just said was perfect, in a sense that it's words that I've never been able to find when it comes to not trusting people, especially black people, who discourage other black folks from voting. I'm saying is, look, voting is the plan. If you're not voting, then you better have an alternative, because sitting it out is not an option for black folks. White people can afford to, the privileged can afford to sit it out. But you know, I'll even go to a next level, man. If you're an American, and you sat by while this racist rose to power, shut the fuck up. You're part of the problem. You are part of the problem. I ain't trying to hear shit about how I'm against racism, because what you're really saying is I'm against racism as long as I don't have to do shit about it. Like, at a certain point as an adult, you got to ask yourself shit like, what the fuck do I stand for? Because sitting out that election, part of the problem. You're down with racism. You were down with the status quo. Like, you couldn't give a fuck about. I mean, okay, I'll speak for myself. Because, okay, I'm not an American, couldn't vote in that election, but it does bother me, human suffering. I guess when it comes to voting, I'm voting for the option that less human suffering. And unfortunately, yeah, I can understand the folks that, people are going to suffer in both cases, but there's going to be one who's less evil than the other. I don't know how to explain this. Who's less evil than the other? Because, you know what? I'm not going to make a big thing about why you should vote, but I am going to say not to trust a motherfucker who's trying to convince you not to vote, especially black people. Don't trust any black person who doesn't see, who not doesn't see the value in voting, but more like, here's what it comes down to me, right? If you're not about the ballot, you better be about the bullet. If you're not going to go out there and vote, then you better be ready when the shit gets down. Like, you better be armed. You better have a militia, an army plan, and you better be on that street shit. Because sitting it out isn't an option. Unless you're cool with, do your part. You know, it's kind of like, ever been on a group project and one person is coming out with solution and the other person is, all they can say is, nah, that's not going to work because, nah, that's not going to work. But that's all they do. They don't offer any, but what's the plan? What's the alternative? What the fuck are you bringing? All they can do is tell you what's wrong with every solution that you provide, and no progress is made. Infuriating. So yes, it's yeah. I don't trust other black folk. You know what? I don't trust black folks who tell other black folks not to vote the same way I don't trust black folks who tell other black folks not to get vaccinated. Fuck you, man. If you got a problem with vaccination, well, you deal with that shit. Work on that shit. Yeah. I try to be understanding, but there's certain times where you got to be like, nah, that's some fuck shit. Looks like we're just going to have to be on opposite ends of that particular issue. All right, that's it for, hold on, make sure, is that it? That's for randomness? C'est tout? Est-ce que c'est juste ça que j'avais dit? All right, yeah, I guess that's it. All right, let's jump into my feature thought, the final say of today's episode. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. All right, we are back. New something to do it too. If you guys can't tell, I know you can't tell, I'm distracted too. I'm recording earlier than usual on this Sunday because the plan afterwards is to, bought this furniture from this cabinet from IKEA that we need to build. And I kind of want to be tipsy. I kind of want to do it drunk. I kind of want to be a little intoxicated as I work on it. And I don't like drinking before an episode, but that's a lot of detail. Two, I'm recording myself. I'm not going to publish this recording because the lighting sucks and I need to work on my background. But it's a little distracting. Shout out to OBS Studio. It's a little distracting, but I'm getting used to it, man. One day, kids, I want to be that annoying video podcasters. But for now, stick to the audio. Yeah, because you got a face for radio. Oh, why would you say that? All right, where are we? Yes, okay. So this is all going to be raw thoughts about watching the documentary. I was not expecting. Funny story. I did not have any topics for today's episode. I was going to freestyle. Honestly, I wasn't sure what I was going to talk about. Then the same friend of mine who was, when we were going out for Pi, celebrating Pi Day, she was telling me about a documentary on Netflix that just came out. I'm surprised I was not aware of it. Documentary that's on Netflix, and it's called by Louis Theroux. And I guess a shout out to her algorithms. I'm surprised it didn't show up in mine, but whatever. Louis Theroux, and it's called Inside the Manosphere. And they tell you what, let me read the description of the show. They have it as, by the way, I love the cover. The messaging behind the cover, because Louis Theroux, the interviewer, nerdy white dude, he's in a headlock, and what did he write? He said, "Back and better than ever." Like, I, you know what? Okay, I'll explain later why I liked it so much. But here, let me read the description. It goes, "The acclaimed documentary." Yen, the dude who makes a documentary. How embarrassing. Anyways, I sound as stupid as the dudes in the Manosphere. Anyways, gains rare, unrestricted access to explore the rising ultra-masculine network and its polarizing influencers. Okay, you know what? I am not going out there. I ain't going out like a sucker. I want to make sure, I want to know how to pronounce this fucking word. Because
you must learn!
Documentarian.
Documentarian. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't so... Okay, whatever. Excuse me. Documentarian. I'm going to forget. All right. Excuse me. You'll understand why I'm laughing. Okay, if you watch the documentary, you'll understand why I'm laughing. All right. So, yeah. So I wrote down a whole bunch of notes. And I will share down what I wrote. Again, all raw. This is not edited. Louis Teru, Inside the Manosphere. And this is what I wrote, right? So when my friend first introduced me to the documentary, we were just chatting about it because when I saw the trailer, I recognized some of these influencers. Not because I'm a fan, because I'm well aware of their toxicness. Like, I'm surprised that they're still out there. And she was, so we were just having a chat, and she was like worried that, she was worried about watching it because she was like, I think it's going to make me mad. I was thinking the same thing. It's just going to piss me off. Like, I was having second thoughts about watching it. But while we were just chatting about the Manosphere, I found myself thinking about realizing that I have no solutions when it comes to tearing down the Manosphere, because it's a toxic aspect of masculinity. Manosphere is to masculinity what the Ku Klux Klan is to white people. I used to say that about the incel movement. It's like, you don't want to be part of it. You don't want to be any. So someone says that you're a member of incel, you got to fight them. Fuck of that shit. And then you got to prove that you're not a, because it's easy to be confused with the, it's the group of human beings you do, as a decent human being, a decent male, you do not want to be associated with. This thought came while I gotta mention that I was high when I was watching it on tweet. So I was doing a lot of thinking. That's why I had so many notes to bring up, right? But while watching this documentary, I was feeling like that line in what's his name again? The Wu-Tang song Cream, where let me get the right rapper's name. Make sure that I say this right. I had it right in front of me. It's Shorty running wild, smoking blunts, drinking beer, and ain't trying to hear what I'm putting in his ear. Inspect the deck, Jesus Christ. Okay, minus one on my Woo card. All right. That need when you're older to talk to the younger people, and they're about to repeat the same mistakes that you made. That the need to be like, don't go that way. But the problem is, at that age, I remember at that age, believing that I knew everything that needed to be known, and ain't shit an adult could tell me. Right? Like, I remember how any attempt by someone who just knew better or who was looking out for me to, like, hey, you don't want to do this, stay away from whatever, right? Just felt like nagging. Just felt like, you old folks, you don't understand my reality. Parents just don't understand. Like, it just felt like that. Shout out to Will Smith. Like another parent or another adult who just don't understand your reality. Anyway, so I was realizing that me attempting to convince younger people, young boys, not to follow the Manosphere would be equivalent to a drug dealer trying to convince boys not to sell drugs. would be like me trying to convince young boys not to sell drugs. I bring it up because it made me realize before the Manosphere, today kids have Manosphere. I had misogynistic gangster rap, misogynistic role models. I had movies that would show, you know, they wouldn't tell you like life is all about money and bitches. It didn't say that, but they presented image that made you want to be like, I want to be like that guy. And then there's the porn. porn. I blame porn. I'm gonna make a link, right? Might be a stretch, whatever. I ain't no psychiatrist, but I believe. So I was introduced to porn at a very young age, and which was detrimental. I didn't realize at the time, but it was detrimental to my mental health and my perspective on the world or how things work. But I remember feeling like I was looking at the male character in those scenes and wishing like I was Christian, but I would have prayed, I want what he's got. I want to be quote unquote cared for, touched by a woman, by a hot woman like that guy. What do I need to do? What, sell drugs, get buffered? Like, fuck a partnership. I don't want a wife. I want to get freaked down like that guy. And it was a short circuit. I feel like my brain was short circuit to... Anyway, I'm going back. Yeah, me convincing young boys not to follow the manosphere would be like me telling kids not to sell drugs, not to be a pimp, not to be anything of those negative images you see in society. Okay, let me move on, right? While I was watching it, the line by Tupac might be the line by Tupac from the track My Block. And he goes, I can't blame the dealers. My mother's welfare checks bought the next man's chrome wheels. And it made me realize made me wonder whether these manosphere characters are the equivalent of these drug dealers, in a sense that, here's a dude getting away with saying misogynistic, racist, stupid, all kinds of bullshit. And it's not just that he's getting away with it, he's getting paid for it. I think there's a lot of us who can't understand doing what they do. But they were willing to, they found the formula that works. And now they can show off. And I want to be clear, I'm not trying to justify their living. What I'm saying is, according to the game of capitalism, they won. They said, fuck, look, I don't know if those guys really believe the bullshit that they're spewing, but I want to assume they do. Maybe they like, according to their I'm going to pretend that they do, because they did mention how the insecurity, the trauma in their lives, and again, not to justify, not to feel bad for these people, but it's just more, look, you're going to watch this documentary and you're going to be like, these niggas can't be for real. This is me trying to make sense out of nonsense, because it's not going to, your first thought's going to be, this can't be for real. And I think that's what the documentary is trying to like reinforce. Like, no, these people exist. And again, and it's not the influencer, to me, in my opinion, it's not the influencers that's the problem. It's the captivated audience. That's the problem. Because in real life, in a legit society, those guys would just be ignored. They'd be clowns. They'd be clowns. They are clowns. But I mean, but being a clown is paying off. That's the issue. While watching this documentary, it had me thinking about how, us boys, we started out stupid. And here's the thing. I'm suspecting this is a theory. Feel free to disagree, but it's my theory. Just an observation about the world. We started out stupid, and I feel like the world didn't expect us to be smarter. I feel like society enabled us. Not to blame, okay, fuck it, whatever, it's my theory. But I feel like we were enabled to stay stupid. Okay, here's my thought. I feel like they made no illusions. They looked at the, I feel like there's a statistic. They look at all the boys that will be born in a society, and they figured, okay, a minority of them will succeed through this school system, will come out smart. A minority. The rest, fucking idiots. They're gonna be useful idiots. They're gonna be people we can use to, they're gonna be who can die in a war, who can clean our latrine, who we'll able to make useful, who will fill up our jails, who will we can catapult and to the moon. Like we can, they'll be disposable. That's what they'll be. I feel like there was a group who benefited of those of us who fell through the crack. I remember after junior high, I had convinced myself, at least I thought, I wanted to be an engineer. But my grades wasn't showing it. So I bring up junior high because the next step was high school. After high school, right? Because the next level is to decide what are you going to do for after post-secondary. I told myself, because I guess I enjoyed the math, but I wanted to be an engineer. That's what I thought I wanted to do. But my grades weren't showing it. And the guidance counselor that I had, they weren't telling me like, oh, you want to be an engineer? Okay, no, you know what? Here's what you need to do, because right now you're good. You need to improve this, that, that. No, I didn't get any of that. It was like, nigga, please. You know what you need to do? Go to like trade school. Nigga like you will benefit from trade school. Now, to this, I'm not sure whether they did me a favor or not. But I did feel like there was a sense of, realistically, with the way you're going, trade school is your best. There was this conspiracy, I mean, this idea that our guidance counselor. So I went to a French school in Ontario. And they kept encouraging us to go to post-secondary, some trade school, some French trade school. And I feel like a lot of us Haitians, we were like brought into this country, you know, to be the labor and shit like that. And, you know, work to be part of the underclass. But also, we need bodies in these schools. So they kept encouraging us to go to this French trade school. And I was like, fuck that, I'm going to go through the English one. That's what I was rebelling against. But my point is, I felt like the decision by the guidance counselor was less about my grades and more like, I need bodies. We need bodies. And you're one, like, universities ain't going to work out for you, nigga. It's not going to work out for you. College is your best bet. I mean, it ended up working out, I guess. Whatever, man. Less debt and whatever. But it just feels like, when it comes to boys, they're like, we know a lot of y'all. You guys are going to be stupid. We expect you to stay stupid. We benefit from you being stupid. There's a segment of society that benefits off. This is where I'm giving you this long story to say. There's a segment of society that benefits off stupid boys. And the manosphere is one of them. Holy shit. Like, okay, I guess I should say that I did enjoy the documentary. I did high five my friend for introducing me to it. But I had to take a break, by the way. Like I said, I was watching that shit high, and it got to the middle. There was a portion where I got worried that ignorance that these motherfuckers, these influencers were spewing, I was worried I was going to catch it. See, I think that's the second target demographic of that documentary. Men and women who are going to watch this and just feel morally superior to these influencers. Smarter. It's going to be like, holy fuck these guys. Like, they're going to enjoy seeing this level of ignorance. I'm watching it, and I'm not telling myself I'm better than them. I'm more like, observing how I could have easily fell for that trap. If I was a teenage boy, yes, I would have been. I could picture myself, despite being like a kind-hearted human being, I can picture myself falling for the trap of the manosphere. Because I already had all the elements, like growing up as a boy, again, but my image of women were like shaped by pornography. And women were like kingmakers. Like, women were like women was like another part of society calling me a loser. It was like school, everything. It was just another thing, thing calling me a loser. And that's where the anger towards women came from, because I needed them to validate me, and they weren't doing the validation. Like, I didn't know that it wasn't their responsibility. You're supposed to validate your own self. But that's why I grew up, so I can see that resentment being like, you feeling like shit? You got a difficulty getting it hard, getting it up? Blame women. I was thinking about who was the rapper, the equivalent rapper of the Madness. Look, I remember when, so I grew up listening, during the golden age of hip hop, listening to that conscious shit, right? Conscious hip hop. And then West Coast hip hop came to the light. Don't get me wrong, I love West Coast, but I am thinking about when Snoop Dogg albums came out. And I'm listening to this shit going, wow, I don't think I should be listening to this shit. All of a sudden, a whole bunch of my friends, after the Snoop Dogg, Dog Position, no. Jesus Christ. You're going to make me look this up. Snoop Dogg's first album was called Doggy Style. Jesus Christ. I tend to lose my memory when I'm doing this podcast. Might be anxiety. Yeah, Doggy Style. Everyone all of a sudden is trying out weed for the first time. Only reason I didn't fall into the trend, I didn't try the trend of smoking weed at the time, is because I had a job, and they had a big sign on their door say, yeah, we drug test our employees. I'm like, yeah, I'm not losing this job because Snoop Dogg is telling me to smoke weed. Anyway, right. Okay, I think that's what I'm missing is a lot of us were introduced to West Coast hip hop, and I'm not just West Coast, gangster rap. Like West Coast gangster rap hip hop. But I'm talking about It Ain't No Fun, If the Homies Can't Have None. I'm talking about if I fell with a bitch, I'd always be broke. I wouldn't have no motherfucking endo to smoke. I was like, yeah, that's the truth. That's a lifestyle. Fuck them bitches, bunny over bitches. I was thinking about which rapper used to say the equivalent shit, the equivalent message of the Manosphere. There was a bunch. There was a lot. And the thing is, I bought into it. Okay, funny story. I bought it. Friends of mine, we bought into it. Funny story. Corrupt, the biggest misogynistic rapper. Excuse me. Out of them all, Mr. If I gave a fuck about a bitch, I'd always be broke. I'd never have no motherfucking endo to smoke. He said some other wild shit, some other fucked up. But the thing is, we believed him. We thought that was his authentic self rapping up. We didn't see it as entertainment. We didn't look at it like you're supposed to listen to it. This is just like, this shit is all joke. This shit ain't serious. No. This was our older brother talking to us. Right. Yeah, and I'm remembering... what's that line by Snoop Dogg? Can we get a motherfucking moment of silence for a small company? Look, man, he used to say all kinds of wild shit that shaped our opinion about women. Right. What I was trying to say about Corrupt is, so he said all kinds of shit, but I remember then the announcement came out that he was getting engaged. And me and my friends, we all felt deceived by this guy. So what the fuck? The fuck you doing getting engaged? You just said you don't give a fuck. How you going to smoke your endo if you're going to get engaged? Again, we're kids. The fuck do we know? This shit was supposed to be entertainment, not some preacher. That's the other thing, too, about these Manosphere influencers. I would call them modern-day preachers. Preachers, hustlers. When I say preacher, I mean hustlers. Just like the pastor... Just like the Dr. Umars of the world and Charlie Kirk, hustlers, man. They're playing their people. All right, let me go. What else do I have? the things about, yeah, we were born stupid. What was my favorite rapper? When it comes to stupid people, you that's another realization that, right? When it comes to stupid, I don't have any other words to use, right? But I'm thinking about the their target audience, because they have an audience. And I'm going to say that they're not the most bright, the sharpest tool in the shed, in the drawer. Fucking up that expression. But I'm realized that when it comes to stupid people, there's only two ways to deal with them. You're either making fun of them or you're taking advantage of them. And what's funny is stupid people will get mad at the folks making fun of them while being oblivious of the people who are playing them. Because there's actually it's kind of heartbreaking. It's because they were showing these two characters who are like, I forget who, but they were admiring one of the influencers and they were just like huge fans of them, right? And you can tell that these boys are going through shit, man. One of these boys moved to California? Moved to a different state to be closer to the influencer. And homie had to like live in the, like he was homeless for a bit. He went through some shit. It reminds me of that line by Malice where he says, all these lost souls and I'm their Jesus. And what he means by that, he's like, I'm the drug dealer and these people look up to me. They come to me for solutions to their problem. All these lost souls and I'm their Jesus. And I'm feeding them with this poisonous product. That's what I'm giving them. Like, it is kind of, I mean, behind the misogyny, behind the ignorance and all that stupidness, there's like a tragic story. But it's like feeling sorry for them would be like me feeling sorry for Confederate soldiers. Like they, most of them got played, but they couldn't see the scam. Because they couldn't see the scam, now they're the person on the other side of the battlefield. You're still, during in any war, there's a lot of motherfuckers who were forced to fight against their will. As sad as that is, it doesn't change the fact that they're on the other side of the battlefield. I was thinking about how when I was a kid, I did a lot of dumb shit, too. Again, like I said, I could picture myself joining, falling for the scam, too. But I feel like, I personally believe, and this could be a debate, but I personally believe I lucked out. There are other men who like just believe like they did all the right things. That's why they are where they are. That's why they didn't join the manosphere. I'm trying to say that manosphere is a trap. Any of us young boys could have fallen for it. Especially those of us who like fall through the cracks. You know what I mean? We're going to fall for the cracks. Manosphere influencer, not only, yeah, no, I wrote that. Not only am I getting away with this, I'm getting paid for it. Yeah, what are you going to tell the dude that's like, this motherfucking thing is paying for my Mercedes. Who do you mean you want me to stop? You want me to develop a moral? That'd be bad for business. And what's the last thing I wrote? Imagine having there was a case. I think one of my favorite moments is, it goes back to me why I enjoyed the cover of this documentary. There's a lot of time you can tell these people are saying shit that they didn't think through. Like when they say it out loud, in front of the camera, in front of Louis Theroux, they're like, you know what? I just realized I said something stupid. Like there was one lady, one woman who's with her husband, and husband being an influencer, and the husband said some shit like, yeah, my bitch, he didn't use my bitch, but he was just as well. I said, my bitch is going to be cool with me sleeping around. Like it's like monogamous, this relationship is monogamous one way. She's monogamous, I ain't. And she was like, find herself realizing that, yeah, you know, I stay in my lane, he stays in her lane. But you can see, like, she's like tripping over her words, realizing that, yo, I'm embarrassing myself right now. But what's constant in, okay, here's what's wrong with the manosphere, the men of the manosphere. Okay, I'm going to go back to, I'm saying a lot of things, but okay. I'm going to go back to what I was saying about how I honestly don't know what to tell young men. Like, I don't know what I could tell a young man. Like, one thing I can't tell a young man is, you want to be like me. Nah, fuck that. I can't sell that image. I don't have, like, an expensive... All I can say is, I have a good heart. You know what it is? I'm like De La Soul saying, the best I can offer you, kid, is be yourself. The value in being yourself. That's all I got. I can't sell you on... Because that's how these manosphere get these boys, is they have the nice car, the nice girl, they have the money, they have like all these, this shit that as a young boy, you'll believe that, yes, I want what he's got. I want all that. It's only when you're an adult, if you're lucky, you become an adult and realize, yo, that was some bullshit. Like, you see the scam for what it is. The one thing I can't tell these boys is, you want to be like me. I can tell them, yo, this shit's not going to work out the way you think it is. And this is where I get to what's wrong with the manosphere. Aside from the hurt, aside from the hurtful shit, the hateful shit that they're spewing, aside from that, but it's all fugazi. It's all an illusion. These men, what they're not showing you is that at their core, they're broken people. And all they've done is find ways to hide that brokenness. What they did is they put lipstick on a pig. That's all they are, lipstick with pig. They'll sell you on, yo, you, my life is great, things are well, but at the core, if you were able to like look at these motherfuckers through a microscope, you'd see a little boy in tears wondering, why did daddy leave me? You know, like, there's a pain that they're hiding, and that's all that shit is. And at some point, I mean, or maybe not. Maybe they'll go to their grave and with the illusion. But but some of them will come face to face with reality, and they can either continue to deny it, find better drugs, find better ways to hide, to mask that pain, or confront it like a real man. And it finally brings me to last point I'm making, is why I love the cover of this doc. Did I mention, I did like the documentary. Did I mention that already? I know I've given you a lot of details. What I like about the image of Louis in a headlock, and it's because all these influencers acted like they were smarter than him. And it didn't realize that they were being, I was going to say they were being, he didn't, because they were, it's funny, all of them were like, oh, he's going to make a hit piece on me and shit. Nah, he didn't do a hit piece. He let you talk. He let you be who you are. He allowed you to flourish. And he allowed you to show your blind spot. And I think that's what make this documentary entertaining, is how all these influencers thought they were the smartest person in the room. That's what makes it funny, because you see their attempt to be smart. Because all the shit they were doing worked with your audience, but it won't work with the general public. One of my favorite scenes is they're playing in front of this arcade machine, where, you know, where you punch the bag and it records how strong your punch is, and then Louis, the documentarian guy, he like punches the bag and it was a weak punch, and then the other dude was like, "Gah!" He was like looking at the camera, like you could, like it was like an inside joke between him and his. And his boys, it was like, see, that's why I get bitches, and this nigga doesn't. Like, it was so hilarious, he really believed that weak punch made him a better person than the other. I think the best part that I like about the documentarian guy, he wasn't showing off and he wasn't selling like my version of masculinity is better. He reminded me of De La Soul, me, myself, and I. I'm just being me. I'm just doing what I'm great at. And then it's seeing things for what they really are. That's why them fucking influencers are so angry. Because he's presenting he was presenting the lie that they refused to face. That you ain't deep down at the core of your nature, you know that you ain't shit. And you're just using the money, the cars or whatever to like hide the fact that you believe you ain't shit. Like, what was that line by Kendrick? You think all the money and fame will make you go away? That's all you are. You're just a boy hiding. But again, I can't. This is one of those things that face value, it won't make sense. It will only. It's one of those shit that one of those things that you need to realize for yourself. No one could be told what the Matrix is. Like, I can't explain. I can't tell you what maturity is. You got to realize it for yourself. All right, I'm going to end this. this segment with. Hold on a second. I'm going to go in my old Christian days. Bible verse. I'm going to go in my old Christian days. And my old Christian days, and one of my favorite Bible verses that I feel still applies, even though even as an ex-Christian, it's was it 1 Corinthians 13:11, and it goes, "Don't you hate when you go on a website and they like annoy you because you're using an ad blocker and whatever?" It goes, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. Reason like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." Those influencers stay children. They're going to convince you, they're going to sell on the image that they've achieved the highest level of masculinity. But in the end, it's a punchline. And again, I don't know how I would have sold that to my younger self. I'm explaining all this shit knowing that the person I want to hear me out is like dismissing my shit as whatever. What do you know, old man? But whatever. Okay. Last point before I leave is that remember the conversation with my homegirl. These are the kind of conversations men need to have with each other. Bottom line. And shout out to the guy, to the men who like figured it out from the get-go, who like saw the bullshit from the beginning. You know what? Even better, shout out to the men who like were part of the manosphere and deconstructed their way out of it. Cause that's the best you can hope for, kid. That you see it for what it is, for the bullshit it is, and you walk away from it. On that note, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Website is shutuppodcast.com. New website, by the way. And email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's that blue? Who's that blue?
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. And maybe Much Music, Rap City on Much Music, but whatever. I represent and hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask,
"Are you an outcast?"
This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be that with Whitey, then fuck you too. And by the way, if at any point you found yourself thinking, "Yo, what kind of topic is this to bring up on a podcast?" My answer to you is, it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all. And-
Bitch.